Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent midlist publisher based in Portland, Oregon. We have 14 employees, over 650 titles in print with 20 to 40 new books per year, and we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or perhaps you just want to better understand the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about what you do with your data.
Delicious data.
Hopefully. Sometimes gross, malformed, unnutritious data.
I guess we had another episode about how to, like, make your data delicious and nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, once you have all this data, and, like, what data are we talking about here?
So, we have another episode about what is your data, which is your metadata, meaning the data about the data about your books. You can check out that episode if you are truly lost. And you should, because it's a pretty fun one.
Everything from, like,
if you're a nerd,
the title to the page count to the BISAC code to the number of boxes in a case, that kind of data.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, once you have it all, you've painstakingly, you've probably spent hours coming up with this data, honestly, because data's like that.
And you have to store it somewhere.
Yeah.
So when I was a wee publisher, back in -0, -4, we had a spreadsheet, which we literally still use that spreadsheet. It just has a lot more data on it.
Is that the publishing production chart?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love that spreadsheet.
It was once upon a time supplied to us by Bowker. When you buy 10 ISBNs in the back in the dark ages, they used to literally mail you a spreadsheet, I believe on a floppy disk, because,
wow,
you know, this is before the era of anybody expecting any way to have an email, and then they also mail a piece of paper. I mean, granted, they don't do this anymore. They now just email all of this to you. But yeah, you got a piece of paper, and it had, like, blanks for every single metadata field except for ISBN, and then the ISBNs were pre-filled, and then you would, like, write in the title.
By hand?
Mm-hmm.
And with your, like, pen by candlelight?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe you'd have a typewriter. I mean, come on.
Not
we're not
Victorian
barbarian.
Age. Did they? When was the typewriter invented?
And so that spreadsheet, you know, now has a lot more columns and fields and lines. But fundamentally, it's the same thing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you have to have a way to give that to people. And so we developed our own database system sort of by accident over the years called WorkingLit that does that for us in our most immediate needs. And then over time we learned that relying upon a spreadsheet is not a great way because, you know, sometimes you need to share data in other ways.
Yeah, like once you have a certain number of items, you need a database.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like, honestly, like, at the heart of a database, it's really a spreadsheet.
Sort of. It's like a spreadsheet that has a lot more versatility.
Yeah.
It's like a spread, it's like a database is like a spreadsheet generation tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now we sound like really cool people.
Nerd alert.
Where?
Well, our listeners, obviously. Oh. They've been watching us all this time.
Well, this is on you, everybody.
So yeah, like, why would you make the transition from a spreadsheet to a database, and then what would that do for you?
So, you know, the number one advantage that we eventually ran into was that when you work with other partners, you know, places that sell your books, they expect what is called an Onyx feed, which is a, in theory, open source, but, like, as we found, very, very difficult way to get actual information about how it works, way of sharing data. But essentially, it's like when you make a website, and the website contains all the little information about how to create that web page. Onyx is sort of all the little information to recreate that book into somebody else's database. It's like my database and your database are having a conversation, and one of them maybe speaks French, one of them maybe speaks Russian, and, you know, so there's like a little bit of confusion, but if you have good Onyx data, they can figure it out.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than that.
It's incredibly buggy.
I would recommend to anyone to don't do what we did and try to create your own Onyx feed, but buy a third-party service for Onyx. That's my strong recommendation.
Or, you know, depending on what your interests are. And so, you know, a lot of that is that you need that in order to be listed in pop, you know, I mean, you could conceivably, and I have done it and seen publishers do it long past the point that it's practical, retype all of your data each time into other people's databases. But, you know, who really has the time?
So at what point do you think it makes sense for a publisher just starting out to make this very substantial investment into having an Onyx feed for their data?
Well, excellent question, Ellie. For most publishers, that will be handled by your distributor, no matter who that is. And that is part of the services that they provide. So when they sell you to the trade, they will make your data available because you will type it into their computer, you know, and that's, and then that creates the Onyx feed, and then that propagates it to all corners of the world. But so if you aren't doing that, or at the point that you've outgrown that, I feel like, but even just having like 30 books, it would really be a pain to retype those every single time. Even though you'll have it mostly memorized, probably even the ISBNs by the 10th time you have to do it.
True story. And honestly, also, though, there's other ways that you can go other than Onyx. Like, we have some partners, some vendors that we work with. Do I say vendors or do I say distributors?
Vendors is broader.
They sell our books for us rather than selling books to us. But they will take a CSV file, and so it's pretty easy to generate that from our own database that we have. It can, like, we can export all of the fields that they want at the click of a button because we have it all already in our database. And then our Onyx is kind of the same way. We've already typed all of our data into our database once, so our goal is to be able to, like, hit a button and spit it out in whatever form whoever we're working with needs. But you can also approximate that with copying and pasting fields from between spreadsheets. I recommend having two monitors for this. And really for everything in publishing. Oh, I've become that person.
But anyway, essentially that has become almost the most important part of publishing. Since publishing is terribly outdated, meaning that the industry doesn't even use the newest version of Onyx, this has sort of become the game of availability creates discoverability, creates demand, creates supply, if that makes sense. So people will accidentally stumble upon your books. They will realize that something is relevant or of interest to them, and then they will order it because of that, you know? So it's not even necessarily that they were looking for it, but by nature of its availability, that will create interest.
But I would say, like, Onyx isn't something where you're like, I have an Onyx feed, who will come look at it? Like, you develop a relationship with somebody who asks you for an Onyx feed, and that's when you need it. You kind of don't need it before that.
Right. It's like you can't call somebody to go on a date until, like, they've given you their phone number. And you shouldn't really find out that through illicit means.
Nerdiest date ever.
Yes, definitely a very relevant parallel I've created there. But so, you know, fundamentally, sharing your data with anybody that will listen is really important, you know. And then you will find, rather amusingly, that when you share your data with one person, they will share it with other people, and so on, and so on.
So, and careful what data you put out there. The government's watching.
So this is sort of the biggest reason not to propagate early versions of covers, because they will not be scrubbable from the internet.
Yeah, we have some books where you Google a book, do a Google image search, and you can see 10 different covers. So don't be like us.
Yep. So, you know, be prudent, share widely, but not until you're ready.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.